veterans in mind. Man, if you've not been a vet, if you've not been in the military, I don't think we can fully comprehend, unless it was one of our loved ones that went, the sacrifices that have been given, that have been laid down to go and to protect the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. Amen? God bless you guys and gals. So I want to honor the veterans that have served this nation, as well as those that have served to protect and to serve first responders, the police force, all of those. But I want you to turn with me to a familiar passage of Scripture again today, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, the focus today is going to be on verse 9, but I want to bring it into context from verse 5 on to verse 9. So if you turn to Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 5, and stand to your feet when you get that, we will read God's Word together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Moses has just died. Joshua is taking on the awesome responsibility of filling that man's shoes in leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And God's laying down some things. He's encouraging him. And in verse 5, he says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you?" Wasn't a suggestion, wasn't a good idea. It's a command. And he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement of your word. I thank you for the courage we gain from your word and from your Holy Spirit. And this morning, I pray, God, that you'd help this preacher, Lord, to be able to articulate and to be able to communicate the message of your word to your people, Lord, that we would have the courage to serve, that we would have the faith and the wherewithal, Lord, to stand and to be strong and to be of good courage and not be afraid in the face of danger or whatever, to not be dismayed. Lord, may we be reminded again today that you are with us wherever we go. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm reminded this morning, church, that God calls every one of us to a courageous faith. To a courageous faith and a life of service. A life of service. And this passage is powerful in a lot of different ways. It challenges us. Not only does it challenge us, but it brings comfort all at the same time. It's God's word is alive. It's living. It does what oftentimes we don't think it can do. But today has been set aside to honor the men and the women that have served our nation in uniform. And we owe a great debt to each and every one of them. Thank God for men that will put on a uniform, come under the authority of those that have been placed above them, and defend the greatest nation on planet Earth. I've said it before, I'll say it again. America is still the greatest place on the earth. Amen? It is. And thank God. Just go ahead, everybody, all at once, and just... Amen. Veterans Day, however, is much more than just a date on a calendar. It's a reminder that freedom has a price. Your salvation brought with it, your freedom in Christ brought with it a price. It cost Jesus Christ His very life. He died in your place and my place. There are soldiers that have died on foreign soil that gave their life to protect the freedoms that we enjoy in America. Veterans Day is about courage. It takes courage to go. It takes courage to fight. It takes courage to stand when others shrink back. It takes courage to serve when it would be easier to just stay home. It takes courage to put others before yourself. In fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 13, it says this: greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Christ did that. Soldiers have done that. The highest expression, in fact, of love that any people could ever give for another is to lay down their life like Jesus did when He loved us. We have to love one another sacrificially, just as Jesus loved us. He is our example. He loved us enough to give His life for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While you and I were still in all of the mess that we've been in, the mess that we'll ever be in, Christ saw it all and He died for us. The highest expression of human love is when someone gives their life so that another person can continue to live. As I was putting this message together, thinking about illustrations and how you can illustrate this message, I began to think of John's wife's sister, who just laid down on an operating table and allowed a doctor to perform surgery on her and remove a kidney to put it in a little cousin so that that cousin could live. What a sacrifice that is. And that those are the kinds of things that need to be honored. Gave in an absolute physical sense a part of her so that another could live. It's an amazing thing. People are able to understand sacrificial love even though oftentimes it's rarely practiced. We don't mind loving as long as it is convenient. But when it begins to exact a price from us, when I have to do something for that, it's rarely practiced. It's the kind of sacrificial gesture is almost always dependent on a relationship that already exists between the one sacrificing and the one to be benefited. Even in this situation, it was a cousin. But how many times do we hear, let's think about the donor program. People that have already set things up that if something catastrophic happens that they donate their parts of their body. Marissa sits there today with someone else's heart beating in her chest. Isn't that amazing? Given life by someone else. It's hard to comprehend sometimes. I don't understand how it all happens. Heart valves that get replaced. It's just amazing. Mike's fixing to get some new parts next year. A new knee. It's amazing what they can do. God's love stands in stark contrast to even the deepest expression of human love, because God showed His great love for us by sending His own Son to die for us while in the midst of, before we were even born and we were still sinners, He died for us. Isn't that amazing? His death is the highest manifestation of God's love for us. While we were rebellious and despicable, Christ died for us so that we could come to God, find peace with Him, and become heirs of His promise. He died with a purpose. He died with a plan. And that was to bring provision for each and every one of us that are sinners, that are lost and have no way of making heaven our home. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have the ability to have eternal life. The stripes that He bore are for our healing. It's a high manifestation. While we were rebellious, we may not have to die for someone, church, but we can practice sacrificial love in other ways. How about listening? How about listening? How about encouraging? How about helping someone, lending a helping hand? How about giving? It's the kind of courage that God is calling every one of us as believers to. If we're going to reach our world for Christ, we're going to have to be listeners. We're going to have to listen to those people that we come in contact with that are outside of the church. We're going to have to offer helping hands. We're going to have to give encouragement. We're going to have to be givers. God's calling every one of us. Every one of us to be a part of His army. Not just soldiers on a battlefield, but Christians in the daily fight. It's not a Sunday thing. It's not a Sunday thing. It's a Wednesday and Tuesday and Thursday kind of a thing. Joshua now stands at the edge of the promised land after Moses has died. And God told him to take command and lead the nation forward. What an awesome responsibility to lead an entire nation into the promised land. It was a massive challenge. It was a challenge that Joshua knew he could not accomplish without the provision and the help and the guidance and the direction of Almighty God. Listen, when you go back, if you go and read through the book of Joshua and you read some of the things that happened, some of the things that he led the people into, it's amazing. The first battle at Jericho. That's the craziest battle plan ever. Ever. But if you'll read God's word, you'll find there was something crazier than that happened prior to that battle. They hadn't been following the law while they were in the wilderness, and there were things that had gotten put aside. And before they began to do the work, God challenged them and called them to return to the rituals and those kinds of things. And Joshua on the enemy side of the river circumcised the entire army. Now you think about that for just a minute. They could have done it on, with this, at least with the safety of the barrier of the river between them. But no. God said, "Take them across the river and then do it." Think about that. It was building their faith. It was a challenge. Are you going to trust me? They'd failed before, 40 years earlier, they had failed to enter into the promised land. And I think that this is God saying, listen, are you going to trust me? Are you going to walk by faith this time? And he's calling out all of us to trust him and to walk by faith. He stands on the edge of the promised land with the command to lead the nation forward. It was massive, but God gave him a promise that I believe still speaks to the church today. He said, "Be strong and courageous." He said, "The Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Everywhere you go, God is with you. Our focus, again, is going to be mostly on verse 9. And it's the source of God's courage and God's presence. For the Lord your God, he's a personal God. He's everybody's God, but he's my God. He's your God. Real courage comes from knowing who walks with you. Think about that. Real courage comes from knowing who it is that walks with you. Veterans often say that what gave them strength in the battle wasn't their own willpower. It wasn't their training. It wasn't all of those kinds of things. It was the brother or sister that was in the trenches next to them. And in the very same way, I believe God is saying to every one of us as believers today, you're not alone. You're not alone. Sometimes we walk through those valleys, those dark places, and we feel like we're alone. Listen, this verse of Scripture says you're not alone. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Wherever you go, I'm with you. So he says to you and I, we're not alone. And when we face a diagnosis that maybe we didn't expect, can I tell you this morning, even in the bad news of a bad diagnosis, God is with you. He's with you. In fact, when you step out in obedience, maybe shaking in your boots, can I tell you, God is with you. He's with you. When you take a stand for Christ in the face of a world that that kind of a stand is not popular, can I tell you, he's with you, even in that environment. Courage, however, is not the absence of fear. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's faith in the presence of God. It's trusting that God's going to walk me through this entire thing. And I found this little snippet, if you will, from Dwight D. Eisenhower, the great general of World War II. And he came and he visited the paratroopers the night before D-Day. I don't know if you remember your history, but it was an amazing thing. So many of our young men lost their lives at D-Day. And during World War II, General Dwight D. Eisenhower visited the paratroopers on the night before D-Day, and he walked among them. And he shook their hands. And he said, "Full victory, nothing else. Full victory, nothing else." And it was just his presence amongst the troops that calmed their fears. Those guys knew what they were facing. They knew what was going to come tomorrow morning. They knew that some of them were never going to come back, but they went. Some of them knew that they weren't going to come back. Some of them knew that even if they did come back, they might be wounded, but they still went. how much greater is it when the commander of the heaven's armies walks beside us? Amen? Veterans embody a powerful truth, and it is this: service requires sacrifice. Service requires sacrifice. They signed up knowing it could cost them comfort, knowing it could cost them family, knowing it could even cost their life. See, it's that kind of selflessness that mirrors the heart of Jesus. And according to Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, it says, He did not come to be served, speaking of Jesus, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. And so we honor veterans, and we honor a reflection of Christ's own heart, and we honor the service of sacrifice and a steadfast love that sends young men and women to foreign soils. It's the kind of love that sent Jesus from heaven to a cross to give His life, to go to the grave, to defeat death, hell, and the grave, and come up from the grave and establish victory over death. Amen? When we honor veterans, we honor a reflection of Christ's heart. Every believer is called to be a servant. Every believer is called to be a servant, called to serve the church with faithfulness, and called to serve the world with the gospel. Amen? Veterans fought for a nation's freedom, but Christ fought and still is fighting for our soul's freedom and for the soul of a nation. You want to know how the enemy wins? By just giving in one time. Letting one seed be planted. The Bible compares the Christian life to warfare. We're not fighting flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6. We're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in high places. And like a soldier needs army, we need spiritual equipment. We need the armor of God. The helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the readiness. We need all of that every day, all day. But can I tell you what God really wants? God really desires a courageous heart. A heart that is filled with courage. That even in the face of being unpopular or maybe mocked, we still speak the truth of God's love. You and I may never wear a uniform, but God still calls us to stand for truth. He still calls us to take up the shield of faith and to fight the good fight. We're to stand for truth when the culture that we live in bends the knee to lie. We're to show compassion when others show hatred. Look at what's going on in our nation. We see hatred running rampant. How do you deal with hatred? With love. You counter it with love. It's not popular, but it's effective. We need to be bold in our witness when fear is screaming at us to stay quiet. Anybody experience that? Just don't say anything. So what is our reward then for courage? The reward for courage is God's promise and God's presence. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Can I tell you this morning that God didn't promise Joshua an easy road? He didn't promise him an easy road. But what He did promise him was a faithful God, a God that would never leave him, a God that would never abandon him. That same promise, I believe, according to God's Word, is for you and I today. He'll never leave you, no matter what. His commandments are still God's commandments are still God's enablements for those that obey Him by faith. And just like Gabriel's words to Mary are as true today as when He spoke them in Nazareth, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Do we believe that? Or is it just a nice verse in the Bible? Or do we believe that with God nothing is impossible? Remember that belief isn't just a nice word. It's an action word. You've got to believe. It literally means to believe and keep on believing. It's not a one-time deal. I especially like the translation of this verse in the American Standard Version dated 1901. And it says this, "For no word from God shall be void of power." No word of God shall be void of power. The very words that God speaks has within it the power of fulfillment if we'll just trust and obey. Don't we sing that old song, Kathy? Trust and obey, there's no other way. I don't know what the rest of it is, but to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. That's a great old song. Why don't we sing that song, Kathy? Just saying. Some of those old songs are more than just songs. They're challenges. Count your many blessings. Trust and obey. In the book of Joshua, when you read through that, in the years to come, every time that Joshua faced an enemy and was tempted to be afraid, I believe he would remember that he was a man with a divine commission. He had a co-mission. Amen. A co-mission. He was partnered up with the God of the universe. He had a divine commission. And as he remembered that, his fears would begin to vanish. And whenever things went wrong and he might be tempted to be dismayed, he would recall the command again of God to take new courage, be courageous. And if you and I will talk with God, I believe He'll lead us into victories that you maybe never thought possible. Have you ever had that thought? What could God ever do with someone like me? I've been so messed up my whole life. God couldn't even be. Yes, He can. If you'll just surrender to Him, He'll use you. He'll lead you into victories that you never thought possible, but the greatest reward isn't what we get. The greatest reward is who we gain. The greatest reward is who we gain. And in Christ, we have a commander who never leaves a soldier behind. For years and years, I've always heard, and not so much these days, but I remember when I first got saved that oftentimes this saying would come up, that the church is the only army that buries the wounded. We got to think about that. We got to think about those people that are wounded, because we're surrounded by them, man. They're everywhere. And we got to begin to pray, and we got to begin to encourage, and we got to begin to build them up, because the army of God can no longer be known as the army that kills the wounded. We got to heal them. Some of us are going to have to get our hands dirty in the healing. And I want you to know this morning, Kathy, as you come to the piano. Jesus Christ fought a battle for you. He crushed the enemy. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He made a way where in so many ways there seemed to be no way, but he made a way. On the cross, he faced the full fury of sin and death. His own Father looked away from him in that moment when your sin and mine came upon him. He faced the full fury of sin and death, yet he won. He won. What a great victory. It looked like he had lost. The Savior of the world hung on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth, dead. What in the world? We've been following this guy for 3.5 years. We thought he was going to be our great Savior and defeat the Romans and on and on and on. And there he is, dead. But they hadn't heard what he said. He said, I am going to die, and I am going to be buried. And they took him off the cross, and they put him in the grave. And they buried him. They did everything to secure him in the grave, but the grave couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. There was something going on in the graveyard that day. There was something going on in the graveyard. And when Mary came, she saw that the stone that was covering the entrance had been rolled away and that Jesus was gone. He rose from the grave, defeated death, hell, and the grave so that you and I could be free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Can I tell you this morning? Those of you that are veterans, that have served this great nation, can we just say thank you? Thank you, thank you, thank you. To the believers in the house this morning, the born again brothers and sisters, can I challenge you today to stand strong and courageous? And with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, to the lost, may I offer this challenge. Come to the one who gave his life so that you might have life, and life more abundantly, life everlasting. Life that takes on new meaning. Life that has purpose. Life that will carry you through eternity. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That's God's word. And he's asking you today, what will you do with the victory that my Son bought on the cross for you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying. It says, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's with you right now, and he's challenging you, and he's encouraging you, and he's saying, listen, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Paul said at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. This morning, some of you maybe haven't even started the race. The starting line is at the foot of an old rugged cross. This morning he's asking you, will you surrender to my son? Will you commit your life to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can I add your name to the roster today? So let me ask you this. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's your day. Today's enlistment day. If you're here and you recognize that you are in need of a Savior, He's waiting for your reply. He's waiting for you to say, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. Would you forgive me? Would you redeem me? And He's saying yes. I promise you, He's saying yes. And if you're here today, I'm going to ask you, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. If you want Jesus to come and redeem you and forgive you and you want to be born again, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Yes, I see that hand. You can put it down. Somebody else, preacher, that's me. Hallelujah, Lord. Do it, Lord. Maybe you're here today and you accepted the Lord some time of your life. Things got crazy and maybe you turned your back on the Lord. Maybe you went AWOL. Today you say, man, if He would just have me back, I want to come back. If He'll have me. If that's you today and you say, Lord, I want to recommit my life to you today. If that's you, I want to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. I see your hand. You can put it down. I see your hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? Anybody else? It takes courage to serve. It takes courage to surrender. It takes courage to walk with the Lord. If you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar right now and let me pray with you. Come on. Right here.
I surrender.
Right on, man. Back in just a little bit.
Every part of me and all Hallelujah. To you.
Hallelujah.
I surrender.
Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing.
All of my dreams.
Thank you, Lord. You know, we fight different battles. Every one of us fight different battles. Every one of us are in a different place in our life with the Lord. But I want to encourage you with this morning. Even though sometimes it looks like we're losing, if we'll just keep reaching out to Him, He'll continue to meet us at the point of our need. Amen? So I want to pray with you. I want you to repeat this after me. Say, Dear Lord, I thank you that I can come home, be part of the family, be used again for your glory. Help me to resist the devil and to lean on you and to remember your word, to be strong, to be courageous, to fight the good fight, and to walk with you. Forgive me, restore me, and help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you. Bless you, buddy. Bless you, young man. God bless you. Neighbor, love you. Bless you, buddy. Don't you quit fighting. Don't you quit fighting.